keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
As we gather around the Thanksgiving table this year, there's a lot to be thankful for. It has been, there's a lot of challenges ahead. Of course, there are for our country, for our faith, and of course, for our allies. But that doesn't mean that we don't take time to be thankful for all the good things that we have another day, that we continue the fight, that we can continue to do the work we do here at the ACLJ, continue to do the broadcast for you. And it's something, again, that we're thankful to be able to wake up and do every day. And we thank God. We thank our supporters as well, who have that faith driven by their faith in Christ, but also by their faith in ACLJ to do the right work, to use the resources. So we thank you. We have a lot to be thankful for. We all do, personally, privately, and also as an organization. And I want to just take a minute to say thank you to all of our supporters, whether you're a financial contributor, whether you're a listener who shares our broadcast, shares our post. It is all important. And we know you're all in a different position. But we thank God for all of you and everyone here at the ACLJ. There's a big team that is hard to comprehend every day. And we have to remind ourselves every day, the team that we're responsible for, the people that we're responsible for, and the resources that we're responsible for. So thank you. We appreciate you. And during this Thanksgiving and this week of giving thanks, you know, the work doesn't stop. And what we'll remind you today, of course, the work, whether it's the International Criminal Court with these arrest warrants issued. So not just the threat, not just the investigation, but now arrest warrants issued against people like Prime Minister Netanyahu in Israel. So how does that restrict his ability to travel? What can the ACLJ do? We have a unique experience through the ACLJ and the European Center for Law and Justice, specifically with the International Criminal Court, which not many American-based organizations, even with international affiliates, can say, because the United States, like Israel, is not a member state. So it's what do you do when you're not a member state and yet they're trying to go after you through other individuals and working through these issues of international law, being able to cut through to all the politics and some of the, again, the talking point of the protesting, and just get down to the basics, which is the ICC has no jurisdiction here. They know it. They tried to do it through a Palestinian state that they gave jurisdiction to, that other international documents that predate the ICC restrict the Palestinians or the ICC or other international tribunals from doing, but they're testing them now. And they're testing them again at a time when they believe Israel is weaker internationally. So we know how important it is to have an administration coming in and officials coming in who have Israel's back, but we have to be ready also as an organization at the ACLJ and through our international affiliates to be there when these last 4 years, when you've got kind of an up and down, and a politician will say one thing to one group, or they'll literally run one ad to one part of the country saying how they're tough on Israel, and another ad in a different part of the country saying that they support Israel and you know, all of. So we know that it's not a time where everything is perfect, and we know there's a lot of people concerned about the direction of our country. But we've made changes. You made changes, and people went out and voted. Now we have to hold those people accountable as well to make the changes that they ran on, and you also have to give them space to get those changes in. Things don't always happen overnight. Some of them can, some of them don't. So we have to kind of prepare ourselves for that again as well. At the ACLJ, whether we're taking on the deep state, which is going to come back hard, well, it already has, let's be honest. Since the election, we've seen the deep state already take down people who President Trump wanted to bring in. And that is what they tried to do to everyone, including Supreme Court nominees and people that will be nominated in the future. Whether we're fighting in courts, defending a student's right, defending a teacher's right, or an employee's right, it's all for these bigger ideas that you understand. It's faith, freedom, and the ideas of liberty. And we, again, are so thankful for our supporters. We want you to get updated. Go to aclj.org. Support the work of ACLJ. You can double the impact of your donation right now. This is the time to do it. aclj.org. Go there today. Make that donation. We'll be right back. about lawfare as kind of politics at its worst, I think actually you can take a step further. Disaster relief, playing politics with disaster relief with Americans, is the worst of the worst. And we now know that this FEMA issue about the Donald Trump, Vance, MAGA yard signs, I had two in my yard, I still might. And just to let those neighbors across the street with their giant Harrisbald sign know, you know.
They still have them out too. I'm driving around. I see a lot of signs still.
Blew down a lot. It was not well made. The Trump sign was big, beautiful. Got right into the grass. It was a beautiful addition to the home. In fact, when the Christmas light guys,
it will up the resale
guys,
of your house. Whatever
when
you
the Christmas tree light guys came over to decorate the house, they said, "Those Trump signs are so beautiful. Can we just decorate them?"
Oh, that's nice.
I'm kidding about that.
I don't know. I mean, I can see that.
They are beautiful. They're red, white, blue.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Get back to this.
But if you had those signs in a disaster relief,
yes. So you have those signs in disaster relief, and now we know in Georgia, they told their team, basically someone got ahead of it.
Two states, by the way, now we know Florida and Georgia, that both are conservative-leaning.
Right. The majority of the homes you're knocking on could have been actually Republican homes.
Yeah.
But what they were told, though, is, hey, before FEMA gets here, this was by a contractor that told them, a little tip-off, before they get here, get those signs down, because they won't knock on your door if they know you're a Trump supporter. Okay, so how did that person, that contractor in Georgia, who called during a hearing yesterday, which is why talking about like this on the broadcast, talking about it at the hearing is so important. Because I just want to understand and just kind of remember the government will always try to say, Logan, it's like the radical traditionalist Catholics, the RTCs, that nothing happened there. And then we find out that there was actually FBI undercover agents at the Catholic Church. Here they said it was a one-off. The FEMA administrator has not yet been fired or resigned. You would think she would with her head down, but you know she may be facing more legal liability as this goes on because we now know that this was something at least known to contractors, so not just federal government employees, but contractors as well in now two different states. And we want to know how many more people were affected. That's going to be tough to get out of FEMA. But if you start contacting us, if you were in that kind of a neighborhood or you know your friends were, give them a call and tell them to contact us at aclj.org/help because this is the worst of politics. If politics enters disaster relief, it's not disaster relief anymore. It's relief for those the government deems to be decent people. But those unwanted, you know, how many times have we demeaned Nazis, fascists, the clinging to your Bibles and guns?
What's always interesting is when we open up something like this, that more people do come out of the woodwork and we start finding out that this is a widespread issue. This has happened pretty much with every sort of topic that we bring up here at the ACLJ that we're able to address, which is we open the door and say, hey, if you had this happen to you, reach out to us. And, you know, we expect maybe some people to respond. Maybe they have some half facts. They're not sure exactly. Maybe that's why. But then a lot of the times, it develops very quickly that this becomes a widespread issue well even beyond what we expected, well beyond maybe Georgia and Florida. Maybe there's more happening. Maybe there's documents that can be more uncovered because we know that we've seen that, obviously, with this whistleblower and with what happened in Florida where we saw the list of places that you should go and not go and what you should be looking for and not looking for. And it's a sad time because of this. As you said, politics should not be associated with this. And we have a bite that you should listen to. This is from Representative James Comer from Kentucky. Just give you a good understanding of what's happening.
During the recess for votes, my staff made contact with a new whistleblower who provided a credible account that a FEMA contractor visited the home of an elderly disabled veteran's family around October 10th following Hurricane Helene. While there, the FEMA contractor recommended that the family remove Trump campaign materials and signs from both their house and their yard. He warned the family that his FEMA supervisors do not take kindly to Trump supporters and that they seem as domestic terrorists. The elderly homeowners were so frightened by this and afraid that they would not recover their loss that they removed all Trump materials and signs. Nevertheless, FEMA has not returned to their residence. This took place not in Florida, but in Georgia. Administrator, we're happy to provide you with more information on this, but we and the American people want to know what FEMA is doing to ensure that political discrimination is not dictating how the American people are receiving aid following a disaster.
I want to get your phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110. Listen, Donald Trump is going to get into the White House. This will be a top issue. But we always tell you these 60 days, 60-ish days in between, is when things get really bad. It's when they also try to push the bad stuff under the rug. Phones start disappearing. Data starts being destroyed.
Billions of dollars get spent.
IRS, you know, they smash the computers and they clean them out completely. And now they can't locate the cell phones anymore. All of that. So we've got to get into court with the FOIA and things like that to almost preserve. But if one or two of you even just called today and know or believe this happened to you, we can preserve a lot more information right now, even more potentially than Congress, because we can get into court quickly. Now, you need to contact us at aclj.org/help, because I feel for this one administrator who got fired, they tried to make her the scapegoat, like they tried to make the Cincinnati field office the scapegoat for Lois Lerner and her team in Washington. And she said, look, I'm not even someone who voted for Harris. I was just carrying out the task. Someone told me to do this, and I did what I was told to do as a on the ground, a field worker in this disaster situation. And I got the list, had a bunch of other things on it, and I gave it to the staff. I didn't make it. I didn't write it. So we need her to point to others now that she's lost her job, and maybe that's inappropriate that she did. I also want to know why no one spoke up. It seems like, are the FEMA employees that nervous about speaking up that this seems like something very dangerous we're about to say or about to put together as a policy, which looks like we may be picking and choosing who lives and who dies. And that again, could be a crime equal to some level of murder, because it would be intentional, because the intentional act is you're telling people, do not approach those houses. So, I mean, it's premeditated in a sense. You know, if you don't approach those houses, there may be people there who are dying, or who, if they don't get the electricity or something like that, they will die. And that's why I think this is the worst of the worst we've heard. And Logan, like you said, I really only believe it's the tip of the iceberg.
For sure.
I mean, it's to me, and I think there more to play on this too? Because I do want to get to that the FEMA administrator, what she blames on this. It's truly despicable.
Our workforce persevered through all of the challenges I've just described, and they also persevered through a difficult security environment generated by misinformation about FEMA's work spread through social media. We help all survivors, all people, obtain all of the assistance that they are qualified for under the law, and misinformation was making that work much more difficult.
Misinformation. It was very difficult because the right wing and the social media, but the misinformation, what is she? I don't even know what she's talking about. We have proof. They fired the regional person that was helping out there because it was real. Logan, that's not misinformation. That's not disinformation.
No,
that wasn't
was
a conspiracy
taken.
Theory. You know what's worse now is we've got it in another state. Are they going to say, oh, well, that's also that's a conspiracy theory? And at this point, it's fair to say now that if it happened in one part of Georgia, it happened in other parts of Georgia and likely happened in other states wherever there was at least someone who, at some level, who had a regional ability to put this kind of checklist together to give out to the teams who are going to go door to door. And it may be regional. It may be that they have a few states. It may be national. It could go all the way to the top. Washington, D.C. usually is involved in these types of efforts, especially when politics is in play. So I just believe, one, we can do a lot of work on this. We'll do the FOIA. We're getting the FOIA. And I would love to assist you if you feel like you were skipped over because of the political sign in your yard, knowing that your neighbors were not.
That's right. And phone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110, because we're going to be taking calls a little bit earlier today because we have some guests in the studio and coming in via remote. We're going to be doing that later in the broadcast. So we're going to take calls a little bit earlier. I know a lot of you wait until the end. Give us a call now at 1-800-684-3110 and get in line to discuss this and other topics that may be of interest. Coming up in the next segment, we have a very special guest that are going to be joining us, and that is the group Van Zant, Donnie Van Zant, Johnny Van Zant. You know them as Southern Rock icons from Lynyrd Skynyrd, from 38 Special. They have a new Christian album out right now. We're going to talk about that in their experiences. I'm really excited to have them in the studio. You know, that's something that I always enjoy. But we're going to continue this discussion going on after that as well. So make sure you give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call, like I said, and support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org.
Listen, FEMA was just exposed in a congressional hearing that viewing Trump supporters, quote, as domestic terrorist. We're preparing to file a major FOIA request. We're also battling 18 cases right now against the deep state, and we'd love to represent some of you who may have been passed over because of your yard signs if you were in the path of that hurricane and you know your neighborhood, other neighbors were not. How do you do that? Contact us at aclj.org/help. Now, how do we pay for this where that doesn't cost you a thing? It's our donors who donate to the ACLJ during things like our Faith and Freedom Drive, where you donate today, your gift is doubled. Donate at aclj.org. Help your...
Very excited because in studio, we have Van Zandt, Donnie and Johnny Van Zandt, Southern rock icons, Skynyrd, 38 Special. Probably collectively, I've seen 100 times, maybe more, over my lifetime between the two of you guys.
Well, thank you.
Our dad's been taking us, our mom's been taking us
Since we were kids.
Early, young enough to go to a concert.
Yeah, and see some things, man. I mean, it was good. It was a good time.
Well, we thank you. Our kids appreciate y'all coming to the concert.
But this is a bit different for you guys because it's been a little while since it's been a Van Zandt record.
Yeah.
But this one is sort of your first real foray. I mean, I guess Get Right With The Man and some of those had faith elements. Skynyrd's obviously had some faith elements. Sure, 38 Special always has. But this is the first going into it with intention.
Yes.
You know, go ahead.
No, it was on our bucket list of things to do, you know, and this happened to be right on the top of it. So we're very blessed and great to have it out.
You know what? It really hit us during COVID. You know, I was off for 15 months with Skynyrd, and we have a little studio behind my house, and we're neighbors, by the way. We live
right
next door.
I've seen on Instagram. You guys are always together. Yeah.
So, you know, so I was like, hey, you know, let's try to write some stuff. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, God just jumped on us, and hey, we're so proud to have it out right now. I mean, we're like kids in the candy. You know, it's a great time to have out a gospel album too right now.
Absolutely.
So with Christmas and everything.
And it's called Always Look Up. And that is something that is at the end of all your videos. I see your Sunday videos you were voting. I think I'm a legit fan.
There you go.
But during COVID, I remember specifically that those became, you know, every Sunday, you'd get a video and you'd get an update from you with prayer requests and all the things that were happening. And it really did bring a different side to what you all have been doing for the last, you know, multiple decades because you're connecting on a different level. You were connecting with the fans, like you said, that were going through it during all of that. And then becoming that sort of, you know, conduit for your faith, which seems to have really kind of shined over the last few years.
Yeah, you know what? We've always had faith. Our dad used to preach to us. He should have been a preacher. And if you listen to a lot of Skynyrd songs, there's the Lord is brought into it. Yeah. Song like Simple Man's a godly song.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely.
And Tuesday's Gone. And you know what? We've been saying it's been on our bucket list for years. Man, we should do a gospel album.
Yeah.
And what was really cool, we went and seen Crowder, another Christian artist, and Mercy Me just last year. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of, we just wanted to blend in the audience. And they were like, no, we want to meet you guys. And we were like, really?
Yes.
And it was a really fantastic show. The two of them put on a great show. Mm-hmm. And we were like, this isn't far from us at all.
No. And for those of us that even grew up in the South and spent time listening to this kind of music. Like I said, if you had not told me, hey, this is the first time we're doing this, in my head, I'd been like, of course, this is very natural that this style of music, as you said, something like a Simple Man or any of these songs, Jordan's Simple Man.
So a story behind that for everybody, because now they see us a lot in suits and ties as attorneys and politics. But the truth is, at my wedding, which was in 2021, we were at 2011.
Yeah, it's like not 2021.
No. Yes, I know. I got COVID in my mind a little bit. But the Mother-Son Dance, the song we chose was Simple Man. And, you know, not only did everybody love it, but people had tears in their eyes. I mean, so those songs, like you said, like from the, a lot of young people still listen to Skynyrd, and then as they get older, you start hearing the lyrics again for a totally different way.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same about gospel music and Christian music, is that songs about the faith hit you at different points of your life.
Yeah,
and you can be down in life, you can be up in life, you can be really excited one day, and and it hits you and it keeps you in that mood. You can be down and get you out of that mood.
Yeah, right. You know what? Y'all were just playing There You Are, and that's what that song's all about. You know what I mean? Whenever you're down, look to God. Hey, when in the good times, look to God, you mm-hmm. know, and he wants us to come to him, and we're very faithful Jesus lovers here, you know, and you know, some of my friends, you know, we're not here to preach to anybody, you know, because we're not preachers. Yeah. We're far from it. We're still sinners.
Yeah,
you know?
Of course.
And
that sounded bad. Yeah. You know what I mean?
We all are.
Of course. It's
like, but you know what? We loved, and we've sang rock and roll for our years, and it feels really, really good to sing for our Lord Jesus Christ and spread the word.
I know the tour dates for Skinner and for 38 Special still are packed in. You think you guys going to be doing this live? You're going to be taking this anywhere?
You know what?
Is it just an album right now?
We just did a little acoustic thing this morning, mm-hmm. and it was the first time we really played these songs acoustically, and we were in your bathroom talking, and we were like, you know, we could possibly do this, so we'll see where it leads.
I think people would like to see it. I think they'd like to see that different side of you, because, again, we've seen versions of Skynyrd or 38 Special for so many years.
Yeah.
Right. To see this side of you is very fun for us, and I think it's fun for fans.
Yeah.
Because not that those shows aren't amazing, they are. And I mean, you guys did the New Year's Eve thing last year in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, like, we froze.
Man, on TV, because I didn't go, I'll be honest. I went to your event the day before,
I have
small kids. I'm like, we're going to watch it on TV. And it did, I was very proud of them for that being what New Year's Eve was in Nashville, which was Skynyrd, which was just awesome. But to see that different side, for you guys to go into this effort, and again, this album comes out on Friday.
Comes out on Friday.
Which is very exciting. I know it's exciting. You're going to be able to get it on stream. We'll make sure we link it everywhere. Again, it's called Always Look Up, which, like I said, is how you typically end videos.
Yeah. You know, that all started during COVID, and I love doing it and seeing the people's comments. And what gets me is that I love seeing the people go, I always look forward to this on Sunday. So believe me, I've been traveling.
I do. And sometimes when you don't post,
I'm trying
like,
to get home.
On?
You know, I'm trying to get home and get it done. But I love doing it. And some amazing prayer warriors on there. And hey, I've had to ask them for myself. You know, I have a young daughter who's going through some hard times right now, a storm. And yesterday was a great, great doctor's appointment for her.
Good.
And so we're coming out of that storm, thank God.
You know? That is great. Yeah, I mean, a lot of us have been following and following your stories. And like you said, whether it's family members or whatever it is, there is that sense of realness that comes through.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And with this style of music, and with your music, by the way, historically as well, where if you look back on maybe the legacy of Southern rock, it is that honesty. Whether it was what's going on in the world, whether it was talking about anything that Skynyrd covered, 38 Special covered. Sure, it's fun, it's loud, it's but when you really break it down, as Jordan said, lyrically, it has always had a pretty big depth.
Yeah, that's why we write songs.
You know what? What we try to do is write about truth. And if we can touch you emotionally and spiritually, we've done our job here.
Yeah.
Looks like we've done pretty good so far.
I love that, the dance, the simple man.
It's amazing. And just, I mean, I think about how many generations of people in there know every word to the song.
You're going and it's 3 or 4 generations. When we went, it was just like our parents.
Just recently, I did a show with Skynyrd, and I have a picture on my phone. I wish I could show it to you. But there was a little fella. He couldn't have been no more than 4 years old, but he had the big earphones on. You know, his parents, thank God, were covering his ear. But he sat there the whole night, lip syncing with me, singing along. I was like, look at this little guy. So I took a picture.
Remember, everybody, we've got a November 30th deadline, a deadline that if you make that donation by midnight where you are on November 30th, that donation is doubled. So again, let me explain it to you real quick. You make a $25 donation, that unleashes $25 that was pledged by a group of donors that says, if you can raise it, we will match it. Because of you, that is effectively double, but it doesn't cost you double. I just want to make that clear. You're not going to be charged double or get a second charge. This is really important for us, not just to kick off the year in January 1st, which we, of course, have to do. But there's fights going on right now. You know, our team doesn't stop with holidays. We're all around the world, so there, those offices are continuing to be open. Now, we are really thankful for you, and we come to you straight. We say when we need the resources, we come directly to you, and you have been providing them. Thank you. This is a time that we have to prepare. Go to aclj.org. Be part of the challenge. Again, your donation will have double the impact if you make it by November 30th at midnight. That's at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, welcome back to Seculo. Yes, we are live, and so you can imagine, you know, you got your some heroes of rock.
Oh, I know. I mean, it's almost like that was a dream that happened. I mean, it feels like that wasn't live. That just happened. They walked in.
I will
in.
Say, I bet that in a lot of those homes that didn't get knocked on, I bet Skinner was playing.
A lot of Skinner fans. A lot of Skinner fans, a lot of 38 Special fans.
Absolutely.
Our friends in the Charlie Daniels band, all those people.
I don't know anybody that doesn't know the songs.
No, I mean, I was talking
even
to...
Even people who might not even be... Southern rock may not be in their top... They may not even be from the South.
My son the other day was like, hey, I would love for you...
Like, Sweet Home Alabama, through, you could sing in any country in the world that I do karaoke to.
Yeah, oh yeah, huge in Europe and all these different places. Yeah. But my son was like, hey, he kind of played a game with me, and my wife was like, every decade, pick a song. If you had one song you had to pick from each decade to stick around, all other songs were destroyed. And we went through, you know, the 50s. I was like, Elvis. I said something like, that's all right, Mama. 60s, picked a Beatles song. The 70s, I was like, it's Freebird. Freebird is a song that has to be around. So it was very cool, again, to have them.
Freebird as well at all the karaoke.
It takes a long time.
You better be able to sing.
Yeah, you better be able to sing. And then you got an awkward standing for about 8 minutes there at the end with the guitar solo. Yeah, so you just got to air guitar.
Maybe
just
walk off.
Yeah, just mic drop. But okay, we're back on. Sorry to the fanboy out there for a minute. It was really fun for us. Hopefully it was fun for you. Check out Van Zandt's new record on Friday.
Where's
give us a call, though. I think Van Zandt, we put up the domain here, Van Zandt Band, I believe, vanzantband.com, and you can find it on all your favorite streaming services. You can get the CD, and it's available again. It's coming this Friday. So again, thanks to those guys for stopping in and being on the broadcast. But we want to get back to our topic of the day and some of the other content we have, and we are going to be taking all of your calls coming up in the next segment, because we have a guest in the final segment. So 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah, so we look at this too. We've got this new FEMA whistleblower, and we're hearing his statements. And this is, again, this is a five-year FEMA veteran who is revealing this bias at the Disaster Relief Agency, calling it, quote, rotten to a core. Rotten to a core. These are folks who, if you decide to work for FEMA, one, it's you're someone who is interested in logistics, but number two, and maybe actually the bigger than number one, is that you want to be able to help people. I mean, you're there for emergency management. You want to help people be able to get back on their feet.
Yeah, you'd assume
you want to make sure people get the right insurance information done. You want to make sure people are alive, like doing wellness checks. And the fact that they are picking and choosing Americans. Imagine if the story was flipped to, you know, don't knock on the black people's house. Don't knock on the door of anybody who's got a Democrat sign in their house. Or don't walk on, you know, if they don't speak English, skip over their yard. That's not what FEMA is supposed to do. It doesn't matter who you are or whose house that is. They should be knocking on the door.
This all goes back to the rhetoric that was spread during.
All right.
Now, of course, that's changed. Now Joe Biden can have a meeting with Donald Trump. Now Mika and Joe Scarborough can go down.
He disappeared into the rainforest yesterday.
Yeah, I saw that. Go meet with Donald Trump, but before it was, you know, people that supported him were
Nazis.
Were Nazis.
Would you usually welcome Hitler into the Oval Office for a peaceful transition of power?
And when that starts to permeate people's minds, including whoever was making these decisions, then sure, they think, of course, we shouldn't be helping these people.
There's got to be someone in FEMA sweating. Not just the director, but somebody who at least at a regional level, because we've got Georgia and Florida now. This particular hurricane was mostly in the South.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to go into their regional offices, the South regional office, I'm sure. I would imagine it's headquartered likely in Florida or Georgia, somewhere around there, because of the amount of storms that come through Florida.
Yeah. Areas, yeah.
And the fact is, this didn't just hit the local office. We know now that someone else was told, a contractor picked up on this and went ahead at a neighborhood and said, take those signs down or else they're not going to knock on your door. And that was in Georgia. That was not in Florida. So this is new. It was a whistleblower who came out during the hearing, called the committee. This is why I know you're out there, folks, and you can go to aclj.org/help if you believe this happened to you. If your neighbors got a knock on the door and got supplies or help, but FEMA never contacted you and you're in the same neighborhood because you have it, and you had a Trump sign up or MAGA something on your front, something by your front door, let us know. We need to take this to court. aclj.org/help. Representation costs nothing. Donate today as well. We need your support to do that. ACLJ.org. Donate. To Secchio, we are taking your calls too, 1-800-684-3110. And I really encourage people, if you are someone who in this neighborhood, I mean, because Logan, the widespreadness of this, we're going to play for people in a moment. It wasn't like, you know, one house out of 100. I mean, so I really do believe you need to think a bit. If people in your neighborhood were contacted, think about it. Were you at your house?
Were they not contacted? Were people... Yeah. Do you feel like, oh, well, that's weird that they didn't come by me, but they came to someone else or, you know, someone in your neighborhood? Now, Will, we're going to play this bite from Anna Paulina Luna. What was this exactly at, so people know?
This was at the House Oversight Committee hearing on the whistleblowers as well as this FEMA employee who was fired.
Okay, I just wanted to give you a setup so you understood what you're about to hear. So if you want to know if this was a widespread issue or if this was a one-off, take a listen to this.
People have been impacted by avoidance and de-escalation. Do you have a number for that just nationally, or is there a database for that?
I can tell you that for this particular incident at the direction of our employee, 20 homes were skipped.
So 20 homes were skipped of, and that's just this one incident. 20 homes were skipped due to this specific issue of saying if you had something that would indicate that you were a conservative or a Trump supporter or whatever it may be, that you were skipped. This was a conspiracy theory that happened that quickly became almost, you know, almost confirmed. We saw this list come out and there was a lot of conversation in FEMA saying, no, this is all fake. This is all disinformation. And much like all of this, it ends up becoming true. And as Jordan said, if this was signaling any sort of group, Democrat, Republican, any sort of minority, race, religion, creed, it would be horribly offensive. It would be the worst of the worst, really, in humanity, because you're saying, I'm going to skip helping someone who has no water, no power, because I don't like who they're voting for, of one of the two major parties, which, by the way, ended up winning all of the states that were mentioned that had this problem, and the majority of the country.
Yeah, I think Will, our producer, said it went from a conspiracy theory to a legal conspiracy, and we now need to go find all the conspirators to put on trial. Because this, I will tell you, folks, I don't say this about most things immediately. Like, you know, when you're talking about a violation of your First Amendment rights, you fight that in court, and there are damages there, and it is horrendous, and people deserve to be fired. People deserve to go through retraining, and sometimes commissioners and heads of agencies need to, be fired as well, and have that spot on their record so people know this was someone who got to carry it around for the rest of their life. This is a step further, because people died, and there could have been someone in those 20 homes that could have passed away that maybe didn't have to pass away because they didn't get the supplies.
Or suffered.
They suffered longer because they couldn't get their child's access to baby formula or water, or if they needed any kind of medical machine and they lost even the generators that back up with that because the power is out for so long. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know, and FEMA didn't know, and FEMA didn't care because they had, what did they call it? Avoid homes advertising Trump.
Look, we had family members that were there. Our aunt was there without power for an extended period of time. And not only without power, then became power, and then became a cell phone service. And I had friends, who are on a completely different side of my political spectrum, but are someone who I consider very close and are good people, who walked down the street in the area and went to my aunt's home to check on her. And then they were able to call and contact me. If that person was not someone who would see a political sign and be upset about it, what would they have done? They would not have done that, because that's basic humanity. Basic humanity is reaching out and helping your fellow human.
At points of beyond politics, crises, you put away the politics. But FEMA now appears to be, just like most of these government agencies, just filled with the swamp. They said it's rotten to its core. So another unnamed FEMA employee said, the whistleblowers are coming out saying this is happening in other states. And I think we have to add now FEMA to the list of agencies that need to be thoroughly reviewed. People need to be fired. Some need to be prosecuted. Some need to be behind bars because again, they abused their authority, and that could have cost people not just their life, but also, as Logan said, it could be a lesser thing. It could be still severe bodily harm, severe physical damage, or even the process to go through to get insurance documented correctly. You know, FEMA does that as well. They document what has happened so you can provide it to your insurance company. That those are all, if they avoided providing you a service that you as an American deserve because you pay for with your taxes and so do your neighbors, that is the worst of the worst kind of treatment of our fellow Americans by the federal government. It's a federal government no one has faith in. We even know that when President Trump comes into office, his biggest obstacle is not the American people, it's the actual bureaucracy.
What is his moves when it comes to FEMA? Where does the president stand on being able to adjust what's happening inside of that department?
Well, I mean, completely, this person, I don't think this administrator is going to survive past the time that they're useful to keep in the position to keep asking questions. And of course, you can fire them or they can resign.
Is that the president's
decision?
They can't
stop. Well, the president can fire them, yes. But someone probably much lower could actually take out the FEMA administrator usually, and because it's under DHS, so Department of Homeland Security.
That's what I was curious,
so again, you think Mayorkas, though, this is a guy who doesn't think there's a crisis at the border, is they're not going to rigorously pursue this. They're going to try to run the clock on it, Logan. Hope we don't aren't concerned about it. But this is the type of people that Donald Trump comes in, and you start at the top. And you work your way down. And that's the big deal about draining the swamp is, to truly do it, you can't just cut the head off the snake. Yeah. You got to get the whole body.
Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Bill, who's calling in Wyoming, who's got a related question. Bill, you're on the air. And if you want to call in, this is kind of the last chance to call in, 1-800-684-3110.
Well, I guess this also, I'm not too sure if this includes FEMA, but I do think they talk about how the left talks about how much humanitarian they are, and yet this is happening. I think that's really upsetting. My question is about what's happening in Ukraine. I'm kind of wondering if maybe they're trying to set this up so that, if anything, that President Trump sets up to make it look like a concession America makes, that they might try and make say that, see, he's a lot weaker than what he is.
I think again, If I'm hearing you right there, and we're going to talk about this with former Secretary of State and CIA Director Mike Pompeo, this idea of we're hearing about, you know, nuclear weapons from the Russians. We've heard about, we have now allowed the Ukrainians to utilize missiles that can, and they have hit inside Russia. So not just being used in a defensive manner, not just being used on the battlefield, inside land or that has been taken by the Russian military that is considered Ukrainian. So this is, again, I think what they're doing is escalating the war as quickly as possible to make it more difficult for President Trump and his team to be able to get this horrible conflict to an end so people stop getting killed. And it's not going to be perfect for either side. Most wars that end like this aren't, but you've got to be honest about who you're dealing with, and you're dealing with Putin, so you've got to give him an off-ramp where he doesn't look like he lost. And I think the same goes for Zelensky. I mean, you could already say by actually keeping back and being able to push back the Russians this long with support from the United States is a victory in itself, that Ukraine has maintained most of its territory in this, and again, in this invasion. But remember, this all started, under Obama and Biden. And they took Crimea and the world did nothing. And then Donald Trump comes in and they didn't take any more land. And the moment Biden's back, what do? They try to totally take over Ukraine. Now, they haven't been able to do that because of our financial support and weapons. But the problem is no one is giving us and providing us how this ends. And it's not, you are not a Russian, some kind of Russian spy or Russian agitator, or you've been turned by the Russians, or just a sympathetic to Putin because you'd like to know that our leaders, even if they can't tell you specifically, but at least our leaders are working towards an end game here. And the goal should be ending the war and so that the suffering stops. This has been a war that's been very stalemate-y. You know, it doesn't. It's not like that has moved a lot.
Yeah, we haven't
along
heard of,
these borders.
It kind of, you know, disappeared from the news for a while until you had a situation where, you know, we're approving large spends, billions of dollars, more billions of dollars going and allowing this weaponry to be used in different ways.
Yeah, and I think again, we're going to talk about it. I think people are rightfully concerned, but also I think this is playing politics with people's lives again, you know, with war, because I do believe President Trump could bring this to a close. I think what they know is that they can make it that much harder by allowing the Ukrainians between now and, you know, January 20th to start trying to escalate the conflict by firing deeper and deeper into the state of Russia, in the Russian state. And that then Vladimir Putin says, well, if you do that, I'm going to respond this way. And now considering the U.S., by the way, he considers the U.S. a part of this war. Our leaders try to say we're not having to fight it. He says we are. So we're targets too. Give us a call. Secretary Pompeo is coming up next. Support our work at ACLJ.org. Donate today. All right, welcome back to Secio. We are joined by former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, who is a senior counsel with us at the ACLJ. Secretary Pompeo, thanks for joining us. I want to get right into this FEMA investigation we've been talking about. There's a congressional investigation that was launched into FEMA, allegedly discriminating the use of disaster relief against Trump supporters. I mean, it was a very broad. We know in just one neighborhood by one of those employees that 20 houses were passed over. And again, that was just by the one that we know about. We also have another whistleblower that is called in during the hearing and talked to the staff yesterday and said, well, I'm a contractor and I went to these neighborhoods. And when I was speaking to people, I said, hey, before the actual FEMA team gets here, remove your political signs, those Trump signs, or they're not going to knock on your door. So it also appears, Secretary Pompeo, this is not one rogue employee at FEMA, but at least regionally, this was a talking point and a directive that was going out to the ground, the people that were going to be going door to door in these parts of the Southeast.
Jay, look, Sean Jordan, it's very clear this is illegal. It is indecent. I think your hypothesis is right. I don't think this is a one-off situation. I think it is almost certainly the case that this was a broad directive, and that's why this investigation matters so much. It will not only unpack this corruption, which I think this is undoubtedly just an example of, but it'll unpack this corruption in a way that will allow the next administration to hold anybody who was involved in that accountable, and I'm counting on that to happen, both the investigation and the accountability. The American people deserve the American people deserve this to happen. And those who discriminated based on political views in an emerging situation have to be held responsible for their actions.
Interesting, Secretary Pompeo, because they tried to place the blame on someone pretty, you know, a field agent for FEMA, and they fired her immediately. And then she's gone on television to say, listen, one, I didn't vote for Kamala Harris, not a political person at all. This was just what was sent to me to send to the team. And she gets fired because they tried to scapegoat her. And lo and behold, a new whistleblower comes forward and they've got the information. And I think what we see time and time again, Secretary Pompeo, when we see this kind of corruption inside the federal government, the first action is to always try and blame, you know, with the IRS, it was the Cincinnati field office, I remember. It was field agents there. They don't know what they're doing. When in fact it was Washington, D.C. IRS headquarters that was putting this out. Same kind of feeling here. They tried to scapegoat someone, fire them, and then hope this story would go away. And instead, more FEMA employees are coming to Congress with the same information. So I think, you know, when we talk about, again, the people inside these government positions, it's got to be extremely difficult for them right now under this kind of politicized disaster relief, you can even call it that, because if they speak out, they may lose their job. And then if they don't speak out, they may have to take the blame.
That's right, Jordan. They take the fall. Look, this is now pattern in practice. And so I fully expect we'll find the same phenomenon here where there were senior people who understood from the president on down that this was the expectation. This was the norm. This is how we roll, right? They politicized everything. We've talked about it at the IRS. We know it took place at the FBI. Now we see it at FEMA. They took these institutions that aren't political institutions, but are institutions that the United States people depend upon not to be political, and they politicized them. And I doubt that this is just one rogue official. This is going to turn out to be part of a larger scheme designed to benefit the political moment, which was an election that was pending at the time. And I can't imagine anything that is more indecent to do to these important American institutions.
See some interesting actions inside the Baltic Sea. So two undersea telecommunications cables are cut. They're damaged earlier this week. It impacted, I think, communication Germany, Finland, as well as Switzerland and some other countries as well that are being impacted, some more than others. And now in Europe, they're worried it may have been sabotaged by a Chinese cargo ship that was dragging its anchor along, and they are following this ship. Would you be surprised to find out that it was the Chinese that were behind this?
Jordan, I'm pretty hard to surprise at this point in my life, to be honest with you. It would be rational for them to have done so. It's a pretty low threat way to go after it. It was indeed a vessel that drug its anchor. You can always claim it was accidental if there's video. But more importantly, I think the lesson is for all of us, these are pretty vulnerable systems. I hope that we'll take a breath and do the hard work to figure out why it happened here. But just as important is to figure out how we can prevent this from happening, whether that's in peacetime when someone's trying to just be aggravating and create a nuisance, or in wartime when these undersea cables really matter, when that connectivity is essential to keeping America safe. We've clearly now seen that there's not a capacity to secure them, and we need either an alternative communications model so that we have a backup, or second, the ability to actually protect these cables from having a simple anchor drag across them and shut down the system for a while.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. We're probably at a point where, you know, the undersea cables can be part of the communication, but we can probably do better with something that's more secure. This idea, too, we've got, with the new administration coming in, we know that China they learned a lot from the first Trump administration. With COVID and issues like that, I think that, you know, it's on people's minds that we know that part of a new incoming presidency that the world leaders like to test, especially those who have adversarial relationships with the United States. And so what do you expect from the Chinese? Do you expect kind of acts of aggression and test early on of President Trump?
Yeah, Jordan, that's interesting. I actually think you'll see a period of quiet. And maybe they'll do one or two small things, but I actually think they're going to try and figure out if there's a path forward that isn't what we've seen these last 4 years, which is push and push and push and receive no response. I think they believe and evidenced and experienced President Trump responding. There won't be one free bite at the apple in a Trump administration. I think you'll see President Trump respond vigorously to Chinese actions. So I'm hopeful that the Chinese will take a path that is fundamentally different than the one they've taken these last 4 years, and that Putin will do the same thing in Europe. He will see that there's a different set of leaders, a different sheriff, and his model for aggression will be much more accommodative to U.S. interests, much as it was during the first 4 years of President Trump, where, as you said earlier in the show, you know, they didn't take any of Europe. They didn't attack Europe on our watch. They only did it under the president before and the president after. I hope the Chinese will do the same and recognize that there's real risk in threatening America with President Trump as its leader.
Secretary Pompeo, as always, we appreciate you joining us with that insight, because, you know, people, they've gotten past the election. They're starting to think, what's this going to be like from some of our adversaries in the world? And we're certainly going to want to keep coming to you as we, you know, these international stories get more and more complicated, and foreign affairs can get very complicated during these transitions of power. So we appreciate always your work with us here at the American Center for Law and Justice. And folks, all of this work, you know, bringing the Van Zandt brothers, Logan, and Mike Pompeo, and of course, being able to tell everybody who could possibly be listening to this or watching us right now that if that happened to you via FEMA, to contact us, that we could represent you at no cost. We're able to do that because of our financial supporters and donors. We have our Faith and Freedom Drive ongoing right now. And Logan, this is really important for when you have an issue like FEMA pop up, and now you realize it's not just one place, and it could be a lot more people.
Yep.
But it's also so we're prepared for the new year as well. And so you double the impact of your donation, and it's really important to us at ACLJ.org for people to make that move right now if they can.
Yep. Currently, we're in our Faith and Freedom Drive. All donations are doubled. All your gifts are doubled right now because we have incredible ACLJ supporters and ACLJ champions who are ready to unlock their pledge if you do it right now. Go to ACLJ.org and join the fight and have your gift doubled. Talk to you tomorrow.